You're listening to Thinking Outside the Bud, where we speak with entrepreneurs, investors, thought leaders, researchers, advocates, and policymakers who are finding new and exciting ways for cannabis to positively impact business, society, and culture. And now, here is your host, business coach, Bruce Eckfeldt.
Welcome, everyone. This is Thinking Outside the Bud. I'm Bruce Eckfeldt. I'm your host. Our guest today is Kyle Laux. He is CEO and founder at Roll Pros. We're going to talk about cannabis. We're going to talk about pre-rolls. We're going to talk about automation. We're going to talk about where we are as an industry. I love businesses that are really kind of thinking about how to take cannabis to the next level. And obviously, the automation side of things, there's kind of really figuring out how do we do this at scale, at volume, efficiently, is a big one as we grow in cannabis and as the market matures and expands. And I love tech plays and kind of really figuring out, like, how do we make this stuff work? A lot of interesting kind of technology and details that come up in this space. So I'm excited to kind of hear how Kyle and his team have really figured this out and found a solution to what is clearly a very large growing segment of the cannabis market. So with all that, Kyle, welcome to the program.
Yeah. Thanks for having me on the show.
Yeah, no, it's a pleasure. Thanks for being here. You know, before we dig into Roll Pros and what you're doing today and all the kind of interesting innovation that you've got going on, I'd love to get a sense of background. I guess, how did you get into technology? How did you get into hardware, software development? How did you get into cannabis? Give us the backstory.
Yeah. So I guess, you know, it's been a long journey. If you think about, you know, how far back I've gone in just in general, like problem solving and creative problem solving, just kind of been feel like I've been doing that since I was like 6 or 7. But, you know, really my professional career, you know, was in engineering. I have got a mechanical engineering degree, and I've always kind of had a relationship with cannabis since like high school, where I could kind of use it to get myself to the next stage on a problem that I was solving. So oftentimes, you know, it'd be like, you know, at night I'd get home, I'd relax, roll up a joint, and I would be able to identify my problem from a different perspective.
Yeah.
And that was really the key to, you know, I found out I could problem solve a lot better like that. And so, yeah, as early as high school, right, like I've been solving problems.
I love it.
And then, yeah, as I ventured into my professional career, I started developing products. I worked at a medical device company. That was kind of where I cut my teeth. Lots of brainstorming, lots of kind of crazy conceptual product design. And I was able to really change that industry, or at least the niche part of the market I was in, by creating a product that hadn't really been thought of before. That really just kind of started building that confidence that, holy cow, like I can change things.
Yeah. Right? I can have an impact.
Yeah. And so that was an implant for the chest wall. And I recently found out that they're doing that product is like carrying the company now. And so it kind of felt like, you know, I'd gone on, I worked for a design consulting firm. I worked for, you know, Hewlett Packard, did some printer design stuff, Georgia Pacific, did some stuff with their cutlery dispensers. And then I landed at Meta. So I was working with the Oculus team.
Interesting.
Yeah. And really, I think my whole life's journey has just been trying to find like the hardest problem in like in my purview. And man, those guys at Oculus had some really hard problems. So
I'm sure
that was a really fun kind of highlight of my career. But, you know, eventually I got burnt out on the big business and I really wanted to kind of have my own product that I could stand behind and offer the world. And yeah, that was kind of, you know, the little sand that the pearl of Roll Pros started on.
Excellent. You know, I'm curious, as you got into cannabis professionally, I mean, clearly you had a personal relationship with cannabis, but as you got into cannabis more professionally, like what were some of the surprises or I guess things that experiences that you had both professionally and personally that leveraged well or that you were able to utilize getting into cannabis? And what were the things that you were kind of surprised by or things you needed to kind of learn and pick up once you professionally got involved in the industry?
You know, there's a couple of weird things. Like I can't buy life insurance now. So I was like, that's odd.
That sucks.
Yeah, so I drive a big truck now. That's my life insurance. And then, you know, like from the physics of the plant were really different. Like I had no idea like the intricacies of the cannabis plant, and like, you know, it can be sticky, it can be dusty, there's so many different characteristics and each strain is different. So like from like problem solving perspective, like that was very enlightening, and it definitely that drove a lot of the design of the machine here. And then as far as like professional and like business relationships, I love the people that I get to work with. A lot of the CEOs and people running these companies have very personal relationships with the flower, much like I do. And they kind of have a similar background where it's like they were burnt out on the big corporate job and they saw this emerging market, and that was like their chance to make a name for themselves and build a brand. And so those people have been great to work with. And I think there's a lot of passion in this industry, and that is, it's so fun to work with passionate people.
Yeah. I'm curious, when you kind of selected this problem to try to solve, how much of this was just kind of, you saw it as a big problem, it was, you know, personally interesting, or you had some kind of personal connection to it, and you saw kind of the technical challenges versus, or in addition to, maybe kind of the business side of kind of how much of this was, hey, look, I think this is going to be a really big part of the cannabis space and the cannabis market. And, you know, it's a growing segment, like a solution here would make good business sense. Like how much of this was like problem driven versus kind of business opportunity driven?
Good question. I think the first thing I saw, it was like ego. It was an ego thing because I'd been rolling joints. Like I was kind of the guy at the party that was like, oh, Kyle will roll a joint, you know, or like, you know, you're all sitting around, everybody's showing off their different bag of weed and you roll a joint. So that was kind of like, that was my thing. And man, when I first saw like how they're doing it now, like a cone stuffing machine, I was just like, you know, I was like, that's just not how you make a good joint.
Were you personally offended by that?
Yeah. I was like, this is not okay. And you talk to like the owners of these companies, they'd be like, yeah, I know, it's weird, but that's just like what we got, you know? Like that's
Is it the only solution available?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, you know, on top of it, you know, I'm always looking for hard problems, and that rolling a joint is hard.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, trying to automate that process, I was like, that is like kind of a perfect problem statement for me to start, you know, just start thinking about.
Yeah.
And then, as I got into it and started talking to more business owners, I was like, okay, there's a real scalability issue here. Yeah. Like you can't scale filling these cones. Like that's going to run out real quick.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I was like, all right, well, there's the business case of, you know, reducing labor and scaling. And then there's this hard problem where it's like, all right, how do we roll like a better joint than I can roll myself?
Yeah.
And yeah, so it was kind of like, yeah, saw it as a mountain to climb.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. As someone who climbs a lot of mountains, I get that. So what goes into, I'm just kind of, you know, geeking out a little bit on this, but like what goes into a well-rolled joint? Like when you look at, you know, you look at a joint, what are the things you're looking for, like in terms of process or in terms of outcome? And, you know, how much of this is kind of aesthetics and quality versus, you know, kind of smokability or, you know, how it changes the actual experience of consumption? Can you give us some details on what you look for?
Yeah, well, so first and foremost, it's high quality flower. That means like fresh flower. So, and I've known this since, yeah, I was in high school. It was like, you're always looking for the best flower and you're always trying to keep it fresh. You're always trying to keep it sealed and nice and sticky. As soon as you lose moisture from your flower, you just lost like 90% of the flavor profile, and it gets hot and burns your throat and, you know, starts tasting like hay. So
Yeah.
The first part of a good joint is good flower. And then the other is like, you want to be able to have good density. So like a nice even density throughout the joint. So
okay.
This is like when you're hand rolling a joint, if you, you know, if you have it, if it looks pregnant or, you know, it's got a run in it or like little void.
That little thin spot that really doesn't burn.
Yeah. Those like, that's not going to like burn very well.
Yeah.
And then airflow is kind of like the last thing, and making sure that you have it tightened to the right amount of.
Yeah.
Density that you have a nice good pull on the joint. I'd say those are kind of the primary parts of a joint.
Yeah. Bruce Eckfeldt here. Are you a founder or CEO looking to grow and scale your business? Are you feeling stuck and struggling to get to the next level? Maybe your leadership team is just not aligned and lacking accountability. I can help. I work with companies to craft highly effective and scalable growth strategies and create high-performance leadership teams to execute on them. Using my unique combination of frameworks and tools from Scaling Up, Metronomics, 3HAG, Lean and Agile, and my own experience as a founder and CEO of an Inc. 500 company, I help teams accelerate their growth, increase profitability, and dramatically reduce risk and drama as we go. If you'd like to learn more about how I can help, check out my website at eckfeldt.com or email me at bruce@eckfeldt.com. That's eckfeldt.com. Now on to the episode. I guess how much of this is kind of preparing the flower correctly and then actually rolling the flower correctly? Because it seems like if the flower is not prepped right, like you run into a lot of these problems.
Oh, yeah. The prep is huge. And that's, you know, kind of one of the things that I realized as I started selling this machine was I got to turn myself into like a bit of a professor, you know. Now I'm preaching all the way up to, you know, like how to cure it properly and how to trim it properly and how to preserve all the different terpenes, preserve your trichomes on the flower. So, yeah, I thought it was just, you know, sell a machine and, you know, everybody's going to be able to figure it out. But I think the real value is that, you know, we can help you get your whole joint brand like to the next level by touching all the different parts of your business.
Yeah. Well, I guess give me your kind of take on kind of the cannabis industry, particularly this kind of pre-roll market or flower market. I guess what has been happening here? Where do you see it going? How do you kind of strategically fit into this? Are you looking to carve out kind of a niche of this? Are you really looking to kind of find a solution that's going to cover the majority of, or is going to be the new standard for how to do pre-rolls? Like, what's your kind of strategic take on this?
Yeah, I feel like pre-rolls got a really bad name really early on. That was, everybody was just kind of putting their, you know, their trim and their floor weed into their cones.
Yeah.
And so that was kind of, I think we all kind of burned the reputation early on. And I really, that's how I prefer to smoke is a joint. And so kind of felt like I need to take it on myself to create this product category that really shows off the flower and really like makes for a good consumer experience, because that's what I wanted, you know, like that's, it's like, you know, the whole, not only am I a, you know, client, I'm a customer too. I'm a consumer.
Good old Hair Club for Men reference. Yeah, there. I like that.
exactly. I want to be able to buy a phenomenal joint, like from all my favorite brands.
Yeah.
And so that, you know, I guess you can call it a strategy, but, you know, I really just wanted that. I wanted a good joint from the brand that I like in my market. And yeah, I think we're doing that. I think our kind of like our the innovation that we're providing these companies is starting to stand out. You know, it doesn't happen overnight, but, you know, there's companies that are switching from being wholly flower companies to now they're pre-roll only companies. And a user base that just keeps coming back because they know they're going to get a good joint from that brand.
Yeah. You know, tell us a little bit about the problem, right? So you mentioned, you know, what it takes to, or we spoke a little bit about what it takes to make a great joint, a great roll. When you go to actually figure out how to automate this, like, give us a little bit of the story on, like, what was the first problem? How did you kind of overcome that? What new problems came up? Like, how did you actually solve this?
Oh, man. Lots of thinking time. I'd basically try to dissect the problem into smaller problems. And then just anytime I was like sitting in traffic or in a waiting room, you know, I just start thinking in my head about it. The first thing that kind of put me, like put my concept in the map was, you know, these little cigarette rollers, or if you ever rolled a joint with a dollar bill.
Yeah.
It's called the Lieberman technique. And that I remember always working really well, but I couldn't ever really dial in the tension that I could put, or like I'd either roll it too tight or too loose. And so I was kind of like, well, like what if I had a way to get like real-time feedback on like how tight it was? So that kind of like started down this rabbit hole of like using a belt to roll the joint, which is pretty similar to like the cigar industry. And it really worked quite well. Like the first little prototype I have, it's on my desk right now. Like I rolled a little joint on it and it just popped right out. And it was kind of like this like aha moment, like, holy cow, like this could really work, you know? Like, and then the hard part was like the material. Like once I started getting into like figuring out more about the flower and how it behaves, it's an unruly material, and trying to find a really simple way to convey it and weigh it was probably the biggest hurdle. Yeah, probably took the most time.
Yeah. And how did you solve those things? I guess, you know, without giving away all your proprietary secrets on like, the product, like what were some of the techniques, or what are the things, you know, whether it was kind of understanding of physics or, you know, mechanically, like how you solve some of this stuff. I'm kind of curious to see, like, what were the innovations that really made this work?
Yeah, so the primary in feeding of the material, the primary innovation was basically looking at the food industry. And, you know, I went to like a shredded cheese factory. and I was like, all right, shredded cheese, that's got to be pretty hard to handle.
I love it, yeah, because it's organic, it's moisture, it's got sort of stickiness. Like, mm-hmm. How do you actually shred cheese without just creating a ball of mess?
Yeah, right. And so, and I'm huge on like how it's made too. Like, that's the only thing I watch if I ever watch TV. And so, yeah, I found these vibe trays that it'll feed pretty much anything. And it's mm-hmm. a very, it's like a solid state product. So not really any moving parts, nothing that can fail. And yeah, I think that technology, you know, it took some time to understand it and figure out, you know, like what to code it in and like how to make it so it adjusts for every different strain of flower. But that was pretty big. And then I used the similar vibe feed technique with my crutches. Mm-hmm. And then the innovation of like using a giant roll of paper as opposed to, you know, trying to feed these delicate little cones into a machine. Mm-hmm. That has been huge because it's made everything so much easier. It's like feeding a consistent material into the machine is so, so nice.
Yeah.
And it's cheap too. It like, to my customers, it's like a penny per joint, you know, that's the paper cost.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. What else, as you kind of solved it technically, I guess, how did you go to market? Give me a little sense of like, where are you able to find, you know, people that were interested in this? Where did you start? How have things grown and expanded?
Yeah, you know, I really started slow and kind of organic. I had one salesperson and myself for the first, 2 years. And I remember like one of my concerns was that we would grow too fast. And that is something that I don't think many CEOs ever consider. And so it really turned out to be a strategic move, because when I had the first, you know, 2 or 3 machines out in the wild, I really was like, you know, I was calling the customer every day and I was like really trying to get the feedback on the machine. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the next machine was just a little bit different, a little bit better. Firmware was a little bit tighter. I had one employee, and he's still with me today. And I was doing all the service. I was doing the sales. It was like, it was a, you know, looking back now, I was like, man, I was crazy.
I always say, like, start a company, you have to be a little delusional.
Yeah, yeah, you do. Yeah, and I, and then you got to have, like, you know, whatever, we can talk about that too. You got to have support around you too. Like, I got to give a huge shout out to my wife that, you know, saw me tinkering in the garage on a joint machine, and she should have called me out.
Divorced you right then.
Yeah. So, but she stuck it through, you know, and
that's great.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's fun. And where have you, I guess, give us a little sense of where you are now as a business, like who's using this, like what's been kind of the market adoption, where do you see things going?
Yeah. So now we have 134 machines in the wild. Mm-hmm. And I have 30 employees, and we're really starting to push the agenda of, you know, high quality joints. And yeah, we're growing at an insane rate, and, you know, companies are growing with us. Like, that's the best part, is like some of my first companies I sold to are, they're crushing it.
Yeah.
And they're buying second machines, third machines, and we've got, you know, we've got new innovations always coming out. I've got, you know, the 2.0 machine is just right there. Probably by the time this airs, it'll be out. Mm-hmm. And yeah, and then now we're looking at, you know, like a blunt machine, and looking at, you know, what's the next thing we can disrupt in this market.
Fascinating. Yeah, I guess is your, you know, kind of roadmap other kind of cannabis solutions, or are you looking at sort of taking some of this technology to other industries or other kind of product situations? Like, what's the guiding or the through line on your business strategy?
Yeah, I think cannabis is, yeah, we'll probably stay in cannabis. I think moving upstream and downstream, so moving up to like curing solutions and mm-hmm. grinding solutions, and then moving down to like packaging and kind of automate that. And then, you know, if there's another hole that I see in the market, I'd happily jump in and fill it. That's kind of the guiding light, is I really want to focus on this one machine, because it's mm-hmm. like, this is what can build a brand. And I really want to, you know, take care of the people that are using it.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm curious, like, what one machine will support what kind of volume, and ultimately, for some of these processors and brands, like, what does this look like ultimately, or where do you see, you know, some of the larger companies going in terms of volume and number of machines?
Yeah. So the cool thing about the machine is it's pretty scalable. So it's small enough that one person can operate it and fulfill like a very healthy number of joints mm-hmm. to their market. And so that's, you know, kind of like the smaller guys that just use it on like batch basis, they're usually doing like 80 to 100,000 joints a month. Then there's guys that run really seriously, and they're doing closer to like 200,000 joints a month per machine. And then I got a guy, there's like this one guy that...
There's always one guy.
Dude, he did like 413,000 joints in a month.
But he's just running it 24/7.
Yeah, man. He's just hot
all the time.
Oh, man. And he was the chillest guy. I'd call him up, be like, dude, Grant, you are crushing it. He's like, ah, cool. I was like, I'm thinking he's running like a sweatshop up there or something, like, you know. And he's like, nah, everybody just, they're all technically minded, and they all are, you know, they're just running lights out.
I love it. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. The kind of scrappiness in this industry is really impressive sometimes. And yeah.
Yeah, cool. For sure.
And where do you, I guess, where do you see the business in a couple of years? Like, what's your hope for where you take all this?
Yeah, I see us being, you know, just a lot of companies like kind of building. We have a few companies now that are building brands like around our form factor. And so they're actually reaching out to us and we're kind of linking them up to white labelers, like kind of across different states. So I see it as, you know, we just keep putting more machines out into this world. And then as these brands grow and want to start going across the border, we kind of have this like network that we can refer people to. And yeah, I mean, really the future is just high quality joints for everyone, you know, like that's the strategy.
Yeah. This is cool. This has been a great conversation. We're going to hit time here. If people want to find out more about you, more about Roll Pros and the machine, what's the best way to get that information?
Yeah. So the website, you know, rollpros.com, LinkedIn, we're just straight Roll Pros. Also Instagram, Roll Pros. My LinkedIn profile is just Kyle Laux. So yeah, feel free to reach out anyway. And I'm always happy to talk to people in this industry and share my experience.
Cool. Kyle, this has been a pleasure. Thank you so much for taking the time today.
Yeah, thank you, Bruce. It's been great.
That's it for this episode of Thinking Outside the Bud. Be sure to subscribe using your favorite podcast app so you don't miss our future episodes. See you next time.
You've been listening to Thinking Outside the Bud with business coach Bruce Eckfeldt. To find a full list of podcast episodes, download the tools and worksheets, and access other great content, visit the website at thinkingoutsidethebud.com. And don't forget to sign up for the free newsletter at thinkingoutsidethebud.com/newsletter.